great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to start our show today by talking with you about grilling. Is your grilling where you'd like it to be? If not, help is on the way. Our grilling gurus, Mad Dog and Merrill, are with us today. They entertain and educate grillers throughout their personal experiences, TV shows, and cookouts, and they have great ideas for putting a little more excitement into your grilling results. So if you'd like to join in with your questions, I hope you'll call in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Just look for the Larry Mueller Show. Merrill, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back, Larry. It's a beautiful day to get those grills out.
Absolutely. Mad Dog, I know it's going to be good to hear your voice as well.
You know, you're looking great, Larry. You're looking great.
Well, I've lost about 30 pounds the last year or so.
That's great. Good for you.
Not because I've been grilling less, though.
No, that's because cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner, so we have to treat them with a little more tender, loving care, and it's working. It's actually working, Larry.
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, I think a lot of us, when we think about grilling, the first thing that comes into your head, and they're good things, burgers, hot dogs, and brats. What about some of your favorite outside-the-box meals to cook up this time of the year on the grill?
You know, we just finished a television taping just 15 minutes ago in Arkdale, Wisconsin. And Merrill and I did cedar planked bacon wrapped zucchini wedges and bacon wrapped meatballs on cedar planks, and they were delicious.
Oh, so the cedar planks add a little something to the taste, I imagine.
They actually protect that meat from the heat source, which is nice, so it keeps the meats juicier. And then the bottom of the board, if you're doing it right, is charred to the dickens when you're done. And the flavor, that shrimp bacon wrap, that shrimp just had a gorgeous glaze over the top of that smoked cedar. I mean, it's just absolutely phenomenal. Oh. It really, really is. It's delicious.
Now, shrimp, you don't cook shrimp very long. But you've got bacon, which requires sometimes a little more to at least crisp it up the way I like it.
30 minutes on that plank, and it's browned up on top. The smoke is filtrated into the meat product, and it is phenomenal. It really is. Everyone's got to try cedar plank, and it's easy to do. I actually go to like a Home Depot, Lowe's, or Menards, and I pick up untreated dog ear fencing, and it's cedar untreated dog ear fencing. And 6 foot board is only $2. I cut my own 1 foot sections as I need them, and it's the cheapest meal you ever have.
Yeah,
and most delicious.
That sounds. Do you agree, Merrill?
Oh yeah, I'll tell you what, the whole thing with I agree with everything. The cedar planking, I mean, it's definitely really something really nice and unique to do. Gets a really nice flavor to it. Obviously, my favorite on cedar plank is cedar plank salmon. You can't go wrong with it.
And do you guys soak the planks before you use them or not?
The planks are soaked in water. I did mine overnight. I take a cooler. I get a couple of landscaping bricks that are clean I keep in my garage. And seriously, I take the hose and I put about 4 or 5 inches of water in that cooler. I put the planks in there and I put those clean landscaping bricks on top. And it holds them and submerges them in water. You want a nice, cool smoke. You don't want a harsh smoke. And it really does work. Now, you can use hickory. You can use oak. You can use any wood you have as long as it's untreated. It's just the least expensive way and the easiest way is to get that cedar dog ear fencing, as far as I'm concerned. Just make sure it's untreated.
Yeah. Chris on Facebook wants to know what's best, gas or charcoal, or you could probably talk wood pellets as well. Of course, I've got two big Weber grills that are charcoal, and I have a gas grill that looks like a Cadillac of the gas grill industry, and I wind up using the charcoal one all the time because I like the flavor better. But that's just me. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, I'm still a charcoal diehard, but I mean, I like having the gas grill mainly for the convenience. You know, matter of fact, I had a little breakfast on the grill this morning before we left. had used those grill mats that you see on television. I had bacon and eggs on this morning on the gas grill, but it was nice to go out and hit the button. Bingo, you're ready to grill. But charcoal, I'm still a charcoal diehard.
Yeah. What about you, Mad Dog?
You know something? I'm a gas grill man all the way. You know, Meryl and I have a couple of 3-foot grills, charcoal grills. We do a lot of cooking outside with charcoal cooking. Now, Meryl's got the green egg, you know, the Komodo style grilling. There's a lot of other ones on the market. You know, the ceramic, inch and a half of ceramic. The Asians have been cooking on it for 2,000 years, Komodo styling. Meryl's got the green egg, and he just loves that darn thing. And there's nothing you can't do on them. People are entertaining more and more at home, Larry. It's a phenomenal thing. People are entertaining more and more at home. It's wonderful. Well, we were just at Farm Technology Days last week, and we saw all the technology in the farm industry, and we were relating on stage shows to the technology that's changed in the industry of grilling. It's wonderful. We call it job security. It's just like the radio, Larry. You don't have to put those carts in. You don't have to put those carts in for commercials anymore. It's phenomenal.
Oh, man. You know, Eric on Facebook wants some tips on reducing carcinogens while grilling meat.
Yeah. You know what we do, Larry, is we preach and we do it pretty good, pretty well. We grill 90% of our cooking is done the indirect method of cooking. So we'll lightly sear meat products on the left-hand side or the right side or over a heat source. And then we move that meat product over to the side where there is no heat. And for a couple of reasons, because it does reduce the burning of the sugars of the meat, and that's fine. But it also keeps the meats juicier because cuts of meat are leaner. We brown everything up and move them over.
And I imagine the cedar would also kind of help accomplish that cedar plank.
That's absolutely right. That's exactly what it does. It protects the meat product from the heat source and keeps it that way.
We are talking today with Mad Dog and Meryl, the self-proclaimed, but I think they really are, grillologists. They host the TV show Mad Dog and Meryl's Midwest Grill and have several cookbooks out there. They've got some sauces. I think we've got a link. Jill, do we have a link on our Facebook page to their website? We certainly do. I was just on it this morning. It's full of great information, so I hope you'll... What's the name of the site again, Mad Dog?
MadDogAndMeryl.com. MadDogAndMeryl.com. We got some of our great old half-hour grilling shows on top of there. Every time a show airs, then we post it on our website to make sure everybody has a chance to see it. We got a store finder on there where you can find our great barbecue sauces and spices and things like that. It's a great website.
Tom in Minocqua has a question for you. By the way, if you'd like to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Tom. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Larry. I'm with you on the charcoal. I have two questions about grilling salmon. First of all, I mean, I think I've got it down pretty well. It tastes good. People like it. But what do you guys suggest in terms of removing the skin on the backside? Is there a special technique with that?
The skin is a protective. And here's what they found out in the last couple of years. If you leave the skin on salmon, that salmon is rich with omegas, the beautiful omega-3s that are antioxidants that are healthy for you. The majority of the omegas lie between the meat and the skin on the fish, that oily surface in between there. So we like to leave the skin on it, first of all, when we do grill it directly on the grates of the grill, and it keeps it moisture in that little layer, and you get a more of a health benefit for it. So when we sear the salmon up, I place it skin side down directly on the grates of the grill. You oil the salmon, you season the salmon, you put a little brown sugar on top if you want to. You cook it until it beads white to the top. That's the natural juices, the proteins being pushed to the top. That's about 15 minutes at the maximum. Then I take a nice long spatula, and from one end to the other, I work between the meat and the skin, and I just slide it right off. And the skin stays on the grates of the grill until you're ready to peel it away. But the great thing about cedar planking is you want to skin the salmon or skin any fish. It doesn't want to have the skin on there or because it gets a little bit soft on that soft plank, that wood plank that's been soaked in water. So you do take the skin off it when you do cedar planking.
Before you put it on the plank.
It's a good idea, or it just gets a little bit moist there, and it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That's trial and error. You'll figure that one out the second time you do it.
All right.
That's right.
Tom, yeah, that answer your question?
That was my first one, yeah. And it's good to be affirmed. I was pretty much doing it the way they described.
Cool.
Secondly, I'm going to be preparing grilled salmon for about 8 people, and I kind of like to have it done before they all get there. So what I was thinking is I would grill it and then put it in the oven, cover it on low. Do you think that would – it shouldn't dry out too much, should it?
Salmon is just like a good relationship. It's the most forgiving that there is on the market. And it has those great omegas in there, those great oils. You'll be absolutely fine. If you even want to set it off to the side of the grill and even stack it a little bit where there is no heat and a real low source on the other side of the grill, that'll work rather than wasting your oven space. You know, that's up to you. Or if you want to grill something else while the salmon's on low, that'll work just absolutely fine. It's like a little ultra sham. It'll keep it nice and moist.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot for calling. Well, Luke in Green Bay has another question. Let's go there. Hi, Luke.
Hello, Larry. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for calling.
Absolute honor. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And say hi to your guest for me. I have a question about grilling pizzas on the grill.
Okay.
Basically, I've tried it a few times. I'm not sure what I need to do with the heat. Can you give me any advice about grilling pizzas?
Now, are you making your own pizza dough and stuff, or are you grabbing a frozen one and throwing it in?
Actually, either way, I've tried both.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. What type of problems are you having with it?
Well, one side gets, you know, real done, and
yep.
The other side
the top doesn't. Do you have a pizza stone, Luke?
I don't have a pizza stone.
Get yourself a gosh darn pizza stone. Put that baby in the center of the grill. If you have a gas grill, a nice medium-high heat to preheat the pizza stone in your grill. You go out there with your homemade pizza. You go out there with your frozen pizzas. You go out there with your little pita shells, your taco shells. It doesn't make a difference. Your flour tortillas. And you slip it on that pizza stone. You put the hood down. There again, it's the principle applies. The heat hits the bottom of that pizza stone, just like that cedar planking we're talking about. Diverts around, gives you a confection oven on the top. Bubbles that cheese on top, and your crust will get done beautifully. Get yourself
sure,
a piece of stone. It really does make sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much. Long
yep,
time listener, first time caller. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks a lot for calling. And they're not all that expensive either. I mean, there's a little cost, but they last forever unless you drop them.
Yeah, mine are well seasoned looking. My ceramic is a dark colored, gorgeous glow.
like Meryl is sometimes.
That's exactly right.
I always have that gorgeous glow, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Pat in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. Your show today reminded me of a story I heard about the perfect way to cook carp on a cedar plank. Heard this story years ago, and it said to split the carp in half, pin it down, skin up on the cedar plank, cook it till it's done, and then throw away the carp and eat the plank.
That'll work.
Yep. Well, carp, have you ever done carp on the grill, you guys?
You know something? Go ahead, Meryl.
Well, I know I've smoked it, I mean, many, many, many years ago, but I mean, I'm talking a long time ago. I'll go ahead and brine it and go ahead and smoke it. Other than that, no, I have not.
No.
Yeah, but if you get it fresh in the springtime when that water's cold, I'll eat any gall darn fish that comes out of one of the rivers in Wisconsin, I'll guarantee you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Pat, for calling.
Yeah.
Ron in La Crosse, we'll get to you. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, I got a question. I'm showing my age here, and I'm sure Meryl would remember back in the good old 50s brick and mortar grills in the backyard, and the man of the house would dress up in a full length apron and a chef's hat and maybe a charcoal grill.
Well, what do you think about that? Do you see those anymore, you guys?
Well, he's been watching Ozzy and Harriet a long time, hasn't he?
You know, it's sort of funny because I was thinking about that even the other day. You don't really see anybody using the chef hats anymore. Aprons are pretty much going to the wayside, too. You don't see, usually when you see the typical guy out there grilling, it's the Bermuda shorts, a T-shirt, and usually some flip-flops. You know, the lady usually has a a nice top on, Bermuda shorts and flip flops. Also, that's pretty much, I would say, the stereotype of the grill person nowadays.
Yeah.
But what's really nice though is because people are entertaining more at home, more and more, they're getting beautiful outdoor kitchens, nice islands. A lot of people are getting built-in grills that they're using, like the old-fashioned ones. Hey, by the way,
right.
La Crosse and Eau Claire, the CW network over there, they can watch Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grilling every Sunday. We had a caller from the Madison area. That's on CW57. We got My32 out of Green Bay, CW18 out of Milwaukee. We got Duluth up there with the CW network, CW57 I mentioned out of Madison. So throughout the whole state of Wisconsin, you can watch our show, and it really is a lot of fun. Almost as fun as the Larry Mueller Show.
And if you go to your website, I know on your site you've got a map that kind of shows where all your stations are carrying the show.
We can proudly say that our show is a national show. It airs on Tuff, TUFF TV, like Monster Trucks and Fishing and Hunting with Mad Dog and Merrill, also Tuff TV. It airs throughout all Canada on the Rural Network, and it airs in six major Midwest states. And we're blessed with that, and it's a wonderful thing, and we do appreciate it.
We just had gotten a Facebook question from Lisa, who wanted to know, is a big fan, wanted to know where you watch the show, and there we just answered that question. That's perfect.
Exactly right.
Mad Dog and Merrill, the Grilling Buddies, our guests today. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45 today, we'll talk to the author of a new book. It's really an interesting book that looks at what factors lead to an enjoyable meal and how a taste is just part of it. You know that if you serve your food on a blue plate, the food will seem to taste a little saltier, so you can use less salt when you use a blue plate. That's one of the things we'll talk about with them, but right now, we're looking at grilling with Mad Dog and Merrill. Do you guys think much about presentation when it comes? You know, you do. You've got events coming up all over the place. And, again, they're up on your website. But what part does presentation play?
With Merrill, nothing. With me, everything.
I was going to admit that. Don't have me present anything. I'll make a good steak, ribs, or anything, but Mad Dog is a presenter. He does a great job at it. He really does.
You know, food styling is half the battle. It really is. It's like when you think ahead, like when I did the cedar planking, well, I brought along a nice metal sheet pan that you can actually put those charred cedar planks on, and you can serve your meal. I had six cedar planked foods on one large bread sheet pan, you know, those large, large ones that a baker would use. And the all presentation was right there. Merrill made six wonderful dips, two for each one of the present meals that we made today. And all the dips were lined up there that people could, you know, spoon onto their plate. We had some of the owners and the people of the campground here. We had a campground in Arkdale today where we did the television taping, gorgeous place. And, so presentation is everything. And it always is better if you're on an island in Hawaii and someone is serving you.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
Fred in Madison, or Middleton, I'm sorry. Fred, hi. Thank you for calling.
Sure. Years ago, I put in a natural gas line to my patio thinking I'd want to get myself a natural gas grill. The only one I can find is a Weber. I just wondered if you folks have any experience using natural gas rather than propane.
But your natural gas is really a lot more convenient and everything. I like using natural gas. The Weber natural gas grill is a really good grill to go ahead and use. There's other ones out there that are a little bit more on higher end, but I think you're doing fine with the Weber. That's a really good natural gas grill.
Yeah, you know, on our we also have, you know, like the MHP, Modern Home Products, that's made in the Midwest here. MHP comes in natural gas. A lot of times a grill, if you go to a true hardware store, you can find grills that are coming either natural or propane, and they can order them. As a rule, 90% of the grills you see out there are all propane because that's what people buy.
Natural gas
ones are there.
I actually bought a Weber natural gas grill, and it is so handy. You never run out of gas, for one thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I just didn't know if there were any competitive models besides the Weber. MHP is what you're talking
MHP,
about.
You know, there's a few other name brands I could toss out there, but it'd only be name dropping. But as a rule, I think you'll find a lot of grills in natural gas or propane. But I think you can't go, and I don't want to say a box store, but I think you need to get to a nice hardware store and find a place that actually gets some where you can ask questions too.
Yeah, I guess the stores I see are primarily Weber. I haven't seen any other brands. But okay, MHP gives me a start.
All right.
Yep, you betcha. Thank you much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, I went to a local hardware store, and actually they had the grill there. They came over and installed it for me. For very little cost. So it was handy to have them there.
So, Larry, you ask all the questions. What have you grilled lately?
Oh, what have I grilled? I've done the traditional burgers and hot dogs and brats, but I've also done some salmon on the grill. I'd like to do chicken, and I like to do vegetables. Brussels sprouts on the grill are pretty good. My daughter is 13. She loves Brussels sprouts.
I hope you learned that from us.
I learned it from you with beets.
Yeah, with beets, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I tell you, people are amazed when I grill beets on the grill, and all I'm doing is stealing from you.
Yep. But the Brussels sprouts are great. You know, any vegetables, you know, if you throw them in a stock pot and you put some hocks in there and you cook them up as a soup, they all taste like boiled hocks. But if you put them on the grill individually, you have individually grilled vegetables and carrots and Brussels sprouts, zucchini, beets, potato wedges. There's, you know, all those vegetables directly on the grates of the grill are phenomenal. We've been promoting them for years.
Absolutely. Don in Highbridge, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I've got to replace my old gas grill, and I'm debating on a regular gas grill or these infrared gas grill.
Ooh.
I know the infrared is a little bit more money, but do they live up to the hype?
You know, the problem with the infrareds were really great when they first came out. The big problem with infrared is you're constantly cooking on a higher heat. You can get grills now that you can go use the regular grill itself and get a side burner that's an infrared burner. I would almost suggest that. The infrareds are a little bit too high heat.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a drier heat. And vegetables and leaner cuts of meat, people are having a little bit of an issue with them. There's nothing wrong with them if you're out there and you distribute them. We apologize, but there's ones out there that have maybe an infrared in the center of the grill where you sear at and then move over to a regular, you know, a tubed gas grill, or like Merrill mentioned, there's side burners where your shelf normally is on one side. There's an infrared searing station on that side. And that's more of our recommendation.
All right. There we go. Thanks a lot, Don. On to Henry in Wasaki next. Hi, Henry.
Wasaki. Hello there. How you doing?
Good. How's everything in Wasaki?
Well, clear and dry right now, but heading up towards Amberg and on 141 west of Green Bay.
Okay. So what's your question today?
Two things. One, my most recent grilling experience was shish kebab with small chunks of venison with staggered with great vegetables on a skewer. And that worked out real well. Haven't done it real often, but every time I've done it, it's been real exciting because the fresh grilled vegetables are great. But I get the most compliments and raves about my grilled salmon, and I've been listening to all your different approaches to that. And I use a fish stainless steel or porcelain sheet with holes in it. And on top of that, I put aluminum foil. And then on the foil, I drizzle some olive oil and breadcrumbs.
And
I get the grill up to about 400 degrees. Put the salmon on there. I season the top of the salmon with a variety of different seasonings, paprika, seasoning, salt, anything that, you know, people have a preference for. But then I either use slices of lemon or lime on top of that and kind of stagger them around. I don't cover it 100%. And I grill it for 11 to 15 minutes, depending on how big it is. And typically I'm doing a pound and a half full flame. And it's
sounds
wonderful. Everybody loves it.
I bet. And you toss away the aluminum foil. That's a great way to do it. It's a wonderful way to do it. We, Meryl mentioned earlier, we cook on the, those grill mats, you know, that you get, and those go right on the grates of the grill, and those wipe up clean. You can reuse them. So, yep, there's a lot of different ways. Salmon's a great thing to do on the grill. I suggest it to everybody.
Yeah.
But the Italian breadcrumbs on top are an exceptional topping, which gives it, and they're usually seasoned. Yep. They don't have to use a whole lot of other seasoning. And it really, really adds to the flavor. I can use a spatula like you described earlier. You skin it off. The skin stays right on the foil. You roll it up, throw it away, and there's no, very little cleanup.
Yeah. Yep, exactly right. You're a grillologist.
not me. You are. Thank you.
Thanks, Henry. Thanks a lot for calling.
No, we're bullologists.
Tom in Iron River, let's go to you next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Larry and Mad Dog and Merrill. I'm up in my cabin here from New London, and I had some guests, and we always have the controversy about whether I should put the cover on the Weber when I'm grilling my burgers or steaks. And my friend said if you don't put the cover on, what's the use of having a Weber? But my wife likes them really grilled instead of baked. So she kind of likes it when I leave the grill off, the cover off of my Weber.
Let's see. Happy wife, happy. How's that go?
I would see an attorney about that just to see what you could do there for that. But what I would recommend, sir, is whatever goes with your flow. A lot of times I will cook it with the cover off. And other times I've taken the steak, throwing it on there, cooking about 4 minutes. Putting the cover down, lift it up, flip it over again. It's definitely your choice. It's your grill, whatever you want to do. But a lot of times I like to do it with the cover off.
And right. for a good hot heat source, the cover's off, you get more air to it. That kind of makes sense. When you cover it, it is more like baking. So I think it depends. I would flip-flop that each time you do it.
Okay, so my wife is right again.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I'm always.
And if you know for sure that I have a chef's hat to put on when I grill.
Yep, exactly right.
I know you do. I know. You got every type of hat.
Yeah. And as they say, if mama ain't happy, then nobody's happy.
Amen.
Thanks. Thanks, Tom. Oh, boy. Paula in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
What can we do for you today?
I'm calling because I have a husband who's vegetarian. And I was wondering if you guys could recommend some good vegetarian recipes that are maybe a little, I don't know. I guess I'm a novice griller, so I don't really know anything.
Grilled vegetables are wonderful.
Yeah, here's what you do. Here's a quick little recipe. Take the zucchinis right now are coming in season. Take a zucchini and cut it lengthwise into pickle-shaped spears. Roll in a little Italian dressing, roll in a little Parmesan cheese, maybe a little seasoning over the top. You toss it right on the grates of the grill. If you want to place it just the peeling side down and cook it that way and bake it more, that's lovely. That would be the way that the guests like it of Tom from New London, who's up north right now. If you want to actually move it around and sear it around the way Tom's wife would like it, that's fine too. But zucchini wedges are directly good on the grates of the grill. Brussels sprouts, like we mentioned, whole carrots glistened with an oil with maybe just a little seasoning salt and browned up on the grill until they're just charred on the outside, and they cut into them and the steam raises off every slice. They're phenomenal.
And don't forget the beets. Wonderful. Don't forget the beets.
Oh, yeah. Do you wrap those in foil?
No.
How do you do yours, Larry?
I just grill them right straight on the grill. I might put a little oil on them, but they are so sweet when they come off that grill.
And do they get a little smoky too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, buttery and sweet. They're just so buttery and sweet, it's unbelievable. Those beets are phenomenal.
Oh, that sounds so good. Thank you so much for doing
Thank you, dear.
Thanks a lot for calling. Paula, I tell you, Mad Dog and Merrill grilled for a group of us one time, and the first time I had those beets, and I thought, beets on the grill, nobody's going to eat those. And there were a lot of vegetables that were grilled, and I'm telling you, I went back to get some more beets, and every single beet was gone.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. That's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, also, can you use the cedar planks for the veggies, too?
Absolutely. I've done cedar plank vegetables all the time. We did the zucchini ones, so you don't have to wrap them in bacon. Just oil the zucchini, season it up, put them on the cedar planks. I'll par microwave 90% done whole baked potatoes, or put them in your oven and bake them till they're 90% done, cool them down, mm-hmm. cut them into wedges, roll them in that Italian dressing, roll them in that Parmesan cheese, and put them on cedar planks. Mm. And honest to goodness, they toast up gorgeously brown on top, and they're so delicious with a nice
big
tub of sour cream.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the advice.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way. I have open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. A question about grilling, or maybe something to share with us about your own grilling? 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And I should go back to some of our Facebook and email. Sue from Pulaski wondered if you ever cooked on salt block.
Yeah, salt blocks are great. The Himalayan salt blocks are wonderful. They protect the meat product from the heat. They absorb the natural flavors that exist within that Himalayan salt block. They're healthy for you in some realms in life. They're great for shrimp and scallops and strips of chicken breast and stuff like that. I use mine more. I put mine in my freezer, and when I serve cold hors d'oeuvres, I'll put them on top because it holds the cold longer.
And the salt box, I'm not even sure if I've ever seen. Where do you buy the salt box?
Any major cooking stores carry them. I'm sure if you look under Wisconsin Himalayan salt blocks, I'm sure there's people that sell them. I like the Himalayan salt blocks. They're wonderful. And then Himalayan salts themselves are pinkish in color, and they're wonderful. They're different coarsely ground or fine-grade sodium that you can put on the meat product, and they're good.
Eric on Facebook says he just bought some long, narrow baskets. They're about 1.5 inches square and 12 inches long with wooden handles. And he says they're fantastic to use instead of skewers. Nothing falls out, and they're easy to turn. Have you used those?
Yeah, they're really great. I mean, especially if you want to do shish kebabs or something like that, where you put the meat and the vegetables in there. You know, you don't have to mess with the skewers or nothing. You just put them in the basket, clamp the basket, put them over the open fire or right on the top grate of your grill, and then grill them about, you know, every 4 or 5 minutes, turn them. It comes out good.
Yeah.
Real quick, if you got time, shish kebabs on the grill. We do ours the indirect method of cooking. Large sections of meats and vegetables glisten with an oil. When I'm getting my cedar planks, I look for those long wooden dowels that are maybe an inch in diameter or 3/4 inch in diameter, wooden dowels.
Yeah.
I'll buy one of those wooden dowels, cut 2 15-inch sections. I wrap each one up in the universal aluminum foil nice and tight. We do ours indirect for 30 minutes. That's your shish kebab set. Take those 2 wooden dowels wrapped in aluminum foil, put them on the side of the grill where there is no heat, skewered length apart. Preheat your grill with the wooden dowels on there wrapped in aluminum foil. Go out there with your glistened shish kebab skewers and seasoned up. Lift the hood of the grill. Place them tip to tip across your shish kebab set. Hold them. Put the hood down. 30 minutes later, you have the best shish kebabs in the world with your homemade shish kebab set. You go to the garden center, you pick up those misting bottles, and you put a little chicken broth, beef broth, wines in there, little oil in there, garlic powders, onion powders, and you give that bottle a good shaking, those misting bottles, and 85 to 90% of all the meats, including those shish kebabs, we brown up and move over where they're indirect method of cooking. Give them little mistings. Cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner. Add a little bit of flavor and moisture to that cut with those misting bottles, and it's a great little gig. It's a great way to hide from the in-laws.
Greg in Mineral Point, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I've got a question on brisket. We raise beef cattle here in Mineral Point. When we have a steer process, we usually set aside the brisket because it usually just gets end up ground up for hamburger or whatnot. So I've tried that on a pellet grill a couple of times, but the brisket is not all the even thickness throughout. It starts off about 4 or 5 inches and it goes down to about an inch.
Yeah.
To try to get it evenly cooked.
Yeah. How do you cook a brisket?
Well, you know, on the brisket, what temperature are you cooking your brisket at?
I'm sorry?
What temperature are you cooking your brisket at?
I think we start out like around 190. It's like an 18, 20 hour.
Yeah, you should be fine with that. maybe go up to maybe 225 degrees. Sometimes you're starting to see some barbecuers going up to 275 degrees. But you want to figure to grill that or smoke that about an hour a pound or an hour and a half a pound. And then when it reaches up to about 195, you want to really wrap it up in aluminum foil.
Thank
and then
you.
Let it cook to about 215 degrees.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's called a Texas crutch. So what you do is you partially or pretty much all get that smoke flavor in the briskets, and then you wrap it up in foil, and you just put it back on there at a nice low temperature, and it cooks done evenly within that foil, no matter what the length or the width is, or you know the size is on both ends.
Oh, so that's the trick. All right,
it does work. Yep.
There you go, Greg. Thanks for calling, Lyle in Montello. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a 12-pound lip-on prime rib that I'm looking to cook for a friend that's flying into town tomorrow from Vermont. So I'm not cooking it tomorrow, but we'll be cooking it on Sunday. And I'm never sure whether I should leave the lip on or not. I'm cooking it on a rotisserie on my grill.
Okay.
Which I've done before, but I'm not sure if I leave that lip on or if I cut that off and just kind of cook the meat in that section separately or what.
I would definitely do the whole prime rib. And if you're using the rotisserie, you know, if you're going to be going on a low heat, you're going to be fine. You just want to make sure that you check the temperature on there and pull that prime rib off, probably around 135 degrees, if you want a nice medium rare prime rib.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Do you have any recommendations on seasonings? Last year, I've done it for the last 3 years. We've done this with her. 1 year it turned out great. 1 year it turned out absolutely amazing. And then the next year it was just great again. So
we use our Grandma Hazel's. We have a seasoning called Grandma Hazel's.
I use that one all the time.
It's the old-fashioned steak or Montreal seasoning. It's ground up fresh in Oak Creek down by Milwaukee for us. It's one of our seasonings. It's got just a coarsely ground herbs and spices. It's phenomenal. If you can, it's usually found at a lot of the Woodman's, the Pick and Save the Cops, the Festival Foods, Piggly Wiggly stores. You can go to specialty stores. We'll carry ours a lot, but it's called Grandma Hazel's. It really is good.
Yeah.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah.
I rub oil over the top of it. I rub jarred garlic over the top of it. I'll put nice rosemary and herbs over the top, but I still put Grandma Hazel's on the darn thing.
I use Grandma Hazel's quite a bit, as a matter of fact. I like it a lot. Wow, more callers online, but we are out of time. Boy, you guys are, sometime we're going to have to have you on for an hour and a half.
Would you do that, please? We got time. We got all the time in the world for you, Larry.
Mad Dog and Merrill, thank you so much for being with us today.
All right, happy grilling, folks.
Yeah, happy grilling to you as well. Mad Dog and Merrill, proclaimed grillologists, nationally recognized with their TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. Take a look at their website, and you'll find all the information you need to find about everything that they do. There's a lot going on with Mad Dog and Merrill, and I always enjoy having them on the show. So I was really looking forward today to having them on. I also really looking forward to our next guest, really an interesting book. It's called Gastrophysics, The New Science of Eating. Charles Spence is the author. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, it's the taste that determines how much you enjoy a meal, but there's a whole lot more that goes into how much or how little you are going to enjoy that meal, and we're going to find out about it. This book is absolutely fascinating to me to read, and I know you're going to enjoy learning about gastrophysics, and that's coming up next here on the Ideas Network, so you stay with us.